Where the Legends Play, Willie 1550 and 98.7. Hello, everybody. I'm Kenny Graves, and I'm very thrilled to have her on the phone with me right now. I can't list all of her accolades. It would take entirely too long, so here is the condensed version. She's had 34 top 10 hits, including 18 number one singles. That puts her third all-time among female artists. She has received more than 20 major music awards, including 5 Academy of Country Music Awards, 4 American Music Awards, 2 CMAs, 1 Grammy. Plus, she has her own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She was presented the Cherokee Medal of Honor. She is in the Native American Music Hall of Fame. She was awarded the Cliffy Stone Pioneer Award in 2016. She is destined for the Country Music Hall of Fame, and she has the most famous hair in country music history. She is an icon in every sense, Miss Crystal Gayle. Miss Crystal, how are you, ma'am?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, this is an absolute treat and a pleasure, ma'am. I'll tell you that. We'll run through this real quick. I want folks to know a little more about you when we get finished than they do right now. So that's my whole goal here. Okay, we'll start it off with a fun story. Now, Crystal is not your given name. It is your stage name. Please tell us how that came about and how you decided on the name Crystal.
Well, when I started recording, I was on Decca Records, and my real name is Brenda, and they did not want two Brendas on the same label, so I had to change mine. And my sister thought of Crystal. She saw it on the Crystal hamburger chain.
Crystals, yeah.
That was popular in the South. But she also said it was a bright and shiny name, and that's what she thought I was.
That's a fun story. Yeah, so they already had a Brenda Lee, so you managed to go with a recommendation from Crystal Burger. So that's a pretty cool story.
That's right.
All right.
And I like them, too.
Oh, yeah. And they're still what we call the White Castle of the South is what we have here. The rumor is you could sing before you could talk.
Well, I actually could sing before I could walk. My mother always said that I could just sing with the best of them. And, and back in the hills of Kentucky, everybody would gather on their porch and get their guitars or banjos or whatever out, and they would play music and sing. And, you could hear it from one holler to the next. So it's beautiful back there.
Absolutely. That sounds like it. And now one time you filled in for your sister due to an illness, and you took the stage at the Grand Ole Opry at the ripe old age of 16. Tell us about that experience.
I was 16 or 17, and in that young age, it's hard to remember back. But my sister, and some people might not know that Loretta Lynn and I are sisters. And she was ill. She had gotten sick. And her husband, Mooney, asked the Opry if I could go on and sing a song in her place. And they let me. And I sang Ribbon of Darkness Over Me. That's a Marty Robbins song that later when I started recording and touring, I got to open for Marty.
Oh, wow. See, I hadn't found that. That's interesting.
Yeah, he was so great. And, I didn't have a band at that time, so I would usually use the local bands in the towns where I was going, or every now and then some of the artists would let me use their bands. Like when I did a tour with Farron Young, he let me use some of his players when I would go out.
Okay. And you were raised on music, obviously. At what point did you make a conscious decision to develop your own individual sound?
I loved music, and I just grew up singing all different styles. Because I was in the high school choir, I was in the swing groups, I would sing with my country bands on the weekends, I'd sing with my friends who had like a pop band, and I just loved to sing. I'd try it whether I could or not. And when I started recording, I didn't realize I had to just pick one style. I thought, I'm going to record. And I've been so lucky that I have been able to put on my albums through the years all different styles.
You have a versatile voice for that, I think. Beginning in like 1974, you had your first major hit with Wrong Road Again, and your career began to snowball at that point, and of course came on a couple of years later, your signature song, Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue, in 1977. Talk about that time in your career when it took off like a rocket.
When I started, and I, you know, I had my singles, and I got a guitar player, and I traveled with my guitar player, and then well enough to get a band. But when people started sitting down in the clubs that I was playing, and that started scaring me. I mean, I didn't know what happened. You know, I thought, what am I doing wrong? Because, you know, I'd been playing these bars, and everybody danced and had a good time, and then all of a sudden they're sitting there actually listening. That's when I realized things were changing, and my music was getting played. And, of course, my first number one, I'll Get Over You, and that was written by the same writer, Richard Lee, who wrote Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue. And, you know, you just never know when you're going to run into the people that put everything together. I feel like I was in the right place at the right time with so many great people.
Yeah, a lot of people just showed up in your path, and it worked out great. And of course, you continued dominating the charts all the way through the late 1980s, amassed a Hall of Fame resume and a room full of awards and accolades. But which award are you most proud of?
Oh, I love them all. They're all great. I mean, of course, at the time with the Grammys, you know, I think that was, at that time, Grammys were like these things. Now there's so many award shows that I'm not sure which is the best.
I'm not sure how many there are.
The CMAs, the ACM, they're all great, and they all mean a lot to me. I feel fortunate because being in the top five when you're being out there and you're up for an award, you're all winners. And it's hard to really pick that one person that's, because you all had a great year or you wouldn't be up there.
Very true.
So, you know, I just felt, you know, fortunate and just to be in a business with great musicians.
And your crossover appeal was about unmatched. I mean, and you added to that because you collaborated with Gary Morris, and y'all recorded two major hits that became theme songs for popular TV shows like Dallas and Another World. Now, how much do you think that audience grew for you due to that exposure?
Well, it probably helped a lot. Of course, being on Another World, and I actually got to do a little acting. I played myself, but, you know, someone was trying to kill me. So.
Oh, wow.
It was fun. But, yeah, of course, I did everything in the world I wouldn't do if someone wasn't trying to hit me.
You're at the mercy of the writers.
Oh, yeah, you have to do what the writers say. But, you know, it does help your career and all the things you do. You know, there's a lot of things that I did, a lot of television specials in Bob Hope. I did Dean Martin. I just, you know, so many. I did my own specials as well.
Yes, ma'am. More recently now, you have recorded two gospel albums and one special project where you covered and honored the great, late great Hoagy Carmichael. Talk about that.
Hoagy Carmichael is so incredible. And I've always loved his music. And I got to work with Hoagy. It was in the summertime. It was a television special that was being aired. And they asked if I would sing and go out to meet Hoagy and do a medley of his songs with Hoagy. And it was just, you know, I was in awe. I was very nervous. It was so great. And from that moment, I thought, I've got to do an album of Hoagy songs. Hoagy passed away that winter from when I worked with him. But I was so excited when I went in and did his music. And I got to meet his son, Hoagy Bix, and he told me my version of The Nearness of You was the best one he'd heard. So I was so thrilled with that.
Wow. A lot of people have covered that, so that's high praise.
I know. It made me feel great.
And your most recent project is You Don't Know Me, Classic Country, and you even recorded with your sisters Loretta and Peggy Sue for the very first time. Tell us about that album.
Well, that album is something I've been wanting to do, and I really just started recording in the studio with my son, Chris, I really wanted to show him what real country music was all about. And it was something that we went in there, and all the musicians loved all the songs because, you know, they were all familiar with them, and they had the same feeling about the songs. So we started it out, and I was telling my sister what I was doing, and she said, you know, she'd love to sing on the album. So if I had had the sense to have had 10 tracks recorded that I knew that she knew and we would sing, that we knew the songs, she would have recorded every one of them, and we would have had a sister's album. Because when we went into the studio with this song, it was like when we finished it, it was like, what's next? I mean, she would have done every song.
She was on.
She was ready for it.
She was in work mode at that point.
She was definitely in work mode.
And you even
but she's such a great singer.
Oh, absolutely. And on this album, I know you kind of came full circle because one of the songs you did was your Marty Robbins cover.
Yes. I opened the album with that. I thought that was befitting to do that. And, of course, I did Hello Walls of Farron Young, mm-hmm. you know, because I, you know, worked with him. And, you know, Farron, to me, he was a gentleman. He, you know, everybody that I worked with, you know, I read these stories about things going on, but everyone was, you know, they were, the respect was there. And I'm so thankful for that. Because you read of other people talking about this or something here happening, it's like, wait a minute, you know, I didn't have any of that problem, and I'm happy to say that.
Okay, now I've got one good question here for you. Inquiring minds do want to know, just how long is the hair today?
Not as long as it used to be. You know, I'm not sure where it's below the knees right now, but it's still, you know, it's so hard to get rid of something that's been with you.
Your trademark.
As long as it's been a trademark. And early on, I was going to cut it, and my kids were saying, you can't, Mom, you won't be Crystal Gayle. Like, oh. So that's why it's still long, I guess. I guess when I cut it, I won't be Crystal Gayle.
I guess you'll just be Brenda at that point. Huh?
I'll be Brenda at that time, that's right.
Well, when you decide to sign off, that'll be it. You'll cut the hair. I just have a question. How hard is it to take care of hair that's knee length?
I'm used to having long hair, so, you know, I went through a point, and let me back up and say, all the girls in my family, all my sisters and my mother, too, we have hair that grows really fast, faster than normal. I mean, for me, I cut 9 to 12 inches off a year, and that was just to leave my hair 3 inches off the ground when I was out there the most. And it grows so fast, but I had permed my hair. My hair was down my back. I decided I was in middle school. I said, I'm going to perm my hair. And I went and got it, and I did it. I didn't do it right. You know, Midge, the doll from years ago, how it would spiral up to the ear. That's all my hair did. So it was cut off. I went to the beautician. They cut it all off because they didn't know what to do. And from that moment in middle school, I started growing my hair. And you know, I was not someone who could fix hair, so it was easy to wash and let it dry, and then I could hit stage. You know, that's why I have long hair. I cannot fix it.
Well, that's a good reason as any, but it's a beloved head of hair, I will say that.
But thank you.
Oh, yeah. Now, on the touring side of things, I know everybody is up in the air the way things have been the last few months, but once it starts back, do you have any word on any dates around Houston?
You know, you're asking the wrong person. I can't remember tomorrow.
That's fine. I'll hit up the website and see if I can locate anything. But I'd sure love to get you down.
I do
here.
Have some. I believe I'm in Texas, in actually sometime in the fall.
Very good.
And well, I could not tell you. I should have had it in front of me. You know.
No problem. Yes,
And maybe we can talk at that time, too.
That would be an absolute pleasure again. Well, tell folks real quick how they can find you, the new project you've got out now, the You Don't Know Me Classic Country, and how they can keep up with you on social media.
Well, we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. And, of course, crystalgayle.com. And, you know, we have fun out there on social media, and you get a lot of different people, a lot of, you know, questions, a lot of things that go on. And we try to to be a big part of it.
Yeah. One final thing I wanted to ask, too, before I let you go. I know the movie Talladega Nights, the Will Ferrell had a character, Ricky Bobby, who was the race car driver. He had the Crystal Gale T-shirt that became an iconic part of pop culture at that time. Did your team make up a shirt to go along with that, that people can order?
We do have shirts for that, because he actually used a vintage shirt.
Oh, yeah.
In the show, and we started getting people calling the office wanting that shirt, so we had to go back and remake it, and we sold it because people would have Talladega Night parties.
Oh yeah,
and they want Crystal Gale t-shirts.
Well, it's kind of a must-have.
I had no idea he was going to wear that in the show.
Well, it caught on.
I was like surprised when people were saying, Will Ferrell wore your shirt in his new movie, and I'm like, what? So it was an honor. It touched my heart.
Fantastic. Miss Crystal Gale, such a pleasure to be able to sit down and talk to you for a few minutes. Thank you for taking the time.
Well, thank you, Kenny.
Yes, ma'am. For the great Crystal Gale, I'm Kenny Graves on Willie 1550 and 98.7.